We're speaking about the Inyan of Gilgal, which means reincarnation. And Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, in the Sefer Lekut Amarim, for those who are joining us, Sefer by Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter from Eretz Yisrael, one of the Gedolei Breslov in the world today. But what he's really trying to teach us, B'derech Avoda, is the importance of not caring so much about what other people are up to. Because you have to live your life. And spending your life looking at other people's lives is just confusing, and it leads to jealousy, and it's completely irrational. You're wasting your own life being busy looking at someone else who you're not going to become. We spoke about how you can properly learn from one's fellow Jew, and you should. Right? But at the end of the day, a person has to retreat into his own inner world and ask himself, who am I supposed to be? So to highlight just how different we are from one another, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter was speaking about reincarnation. To explain to us how every neshama is so different and so precise. Right? It's funny, we think of reincarnation, that means like I was once someone else. Right? I walk this earth as another person. But the point that he's trying to say is every neshama has a very specific mission. And it expresses itself in many different gilgulim. No two people have the same story. And I'm using the word story as you'll see in a moment today. Okay? So let's continue from the bottom of page Nun Ches. Sipur Nora Meir of Yehuda Arye Mimodina. That's where we're up to, no?
Yes.
Okay? Ukamo Shemuva Hasipur B'Sefer Shem HaGadolim La'achida. The great Svardi Chacham, the Chida, wrote many, many Svarim. One of his Svarim is called Shem HaGadolim. What do you think the book Shem HaGadolim is about? So it's divided into two parts. One part talks about people, the names of Gedolim, and the second half talks about the names of their Svarim. Okay, so it'll give us a little historical background to the Sefer, when it was written, where it was published. The Chida was very into Svarim, traveled the whole world to see manuscripts. We have a Sefer from the Chida, it's an amazing Sefer. Where the Chida kept a journal of his travels. We have a journal, you know, a diary, where he kept a log of all the places he went. I was here, I was there, I met this person, I read this, I saw this person, I had a manuscript, I learned it one night, I memorized it, I copied it over. Unbelievable things. As he traveled around the world. It's very interesting. An autobiography explaining his adventures. So in the Shema Gedolim, he talks about different tzaddikim, and sometimes he'll tell a story about them. So in the Shema Gedolim, Erech Yud, under the entry for Yud, he talks about a rabbi known as Yehuda Arye Mimodina. He was one of the great rabbis in Venice, Italy, as it says, Echad Mirabane Venezia. He was a rabbi in Venice. He lived in the late 1500s, early 1600s. Okay? So the Chida is writing about him probably 100 years or so after he passed away. And this Yehuda Arye Mimodina was a super, super interesting rabbi. You can go online and read his Hebrew Wikipedia page. We can go on TorahAnytime.com. Rabbi Daniel Gladstein has some interesting shiurim about him. He was a very, very unique and interesting person. He wrote very unusual and different types of svarim. As you can see here, he writes, he was a medaktik, a meshorer, a vidarshan. He was a grammarian. He wrote poetry and songs. He wrote svarim. He was a big darshan. Baal Perish HaBona al Ein Yaakov, in the Sefer Ein Yaakov, the commentary, the Bona, was written by him. Vizel Lishon Osham. Now, I just want to point out, one of the things that he was known for, and you'll see why it's so fascinating what the Chida writes about him, is that he had a tremendous hisnagdus, mamish b'charifus, to Kabbalah. Very against Kabbalah. Very much denied Kabbalah. He wrote a sefer called Ben David, and in that sefer he writes why Gilgal is not true. He wrote a sefer called Ben David to discredit the concept of reincarnation. Okay? But now look what happened to him. He had a little bit of a change of heart. So look what the Chida writes. Okay, top of page Nun Tes. We're gonna take a look at the top of the next page. Kosav Harav Hanisker of Yehuda, shehu betchila lo hayamamin beGilgal. Originally, he did not believe in reincarnation. Again, to such a degree that he wrote Svarim against it, very, very against anti-Kabbalah and deeper ideas. He denied them. Now, the Chida says here in parentheses, ki adayin lo higia lechevel haaretz hahi torasu hakadosha shel ha'ari hachai. Because the holy teachings of the Arizal had not yet reached that part of the world. Again, he was born in 1648, and he died in 1571. Right? Did I get that right? He was born in 1571, and he died in 1648. So the backwards. He was born in 1571, and he died in 1648. Okay? So the Arizal wasn't that much before him. And I guess the teachings of the Arizal had not yet come to Italy. So he had no sheiches to that inner world of Torah of the Arizal. V'yakar mikra sheshcheinaso yalda ben. And the following thing happened. His neighbor gave birth to a son. U'kema'at b'so chodesh le'edaso Chala hayalid b'chalaim kashim shonim. And the child within a month became deathly ill. A newborn baby. Ulevesov shisha chadashim, and by the end of 6 months, leidaso, higia kitzo, this child had reached its end. Vahaya goses. Goses is the period in halacha that's described as immediately before death. You have to be very careful not even to move a goses. If you move their body, they're so fragile at that point that moving their body could cause them to die. And then, God forbid, you could have the halachic status of a murderer. So you have to be extremely careful. There's a siman in Shulchan Aruch about the halachos of a goses. So this baby was, Rachmana Litzlan, the six-month-old child, was on its way out. V'shcheinaso kara laharav aniskar sheyomer psukim v'divrei Torah b'tzeis nafsho k'minag ha'moirim b'italia. So the neighbor summoned the rabbi to be present b'shas yitzias neshama, at the time that the soul would depart. And the rabbi should be there to say psukim and divrei Torah, as was the minag of the great rabbanim in Italy at the time. So he went and he saw that the child was in a very desperate situation. Right? Mitzdamik literally means like shriveling up. It was getting worse and worse. Who goes says, and he started to recite Prokem of Tehillim, I guess. And all of a sudden, the six-month-old baby, out of nowhere, opened its eyes and opened its mouth and said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Six-month-old child. V'yotza nishmasa be'echad. Like it says about Rabbi Akiva, he died on the word echad. And that was it. V'hupela. Now obviously, it was a great wonder. U'mahayom ahu v'hal'a hemin b'gilkol. And from that day forward, this Rabbi Yehuda Arya Mimodina, who again was very against Kabbalah, wrote against the concept of reincarnation. But when he saw that out of nowhere, a six-month-old child, all of a sudden, in a deep, mature voice, cried out as it's about to die, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he says, this must be the neshama of a tzaddik, who maybe died in a different way in his previous lifetime, came back to this world as this baby to fix just for a couple of months, and as this baby died, it cried out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And from that point forward, he believed in Gilgal. Ki ayin ba'ayin ra yalid ben shisha chadashim cholet hadir, because he saw a six-month-old child that from the time he was born, his situation got worse and worse. Mitzdamik v'ra, v'u'amar k'gadol b'bitlis v'asayim, and then with a clarity, in a mature, clear voice, the child was able to enunciate the Pasuk Shema, kulo b'kol ram, to say the entire Pasuk of Shema in a loud and clear voice. It's not where does that come from? How's that possible? It must be, he said, it must be, and again, this is, like he told us yesterday, when you understand the concept of Gilgal, you understand different secrets about creation, and you could also explain some of the suffering. Again, I'm not, and I never will be, the type of rabbi who tries to offer explanations for the Holocaust. Right? But there are tzaddikim who have said that those were neshamos that died in the Holocaust, they were gilgulim, they only had to be here for a shorter period of time, whatever it is. Right? When a baby dies at a young age, and the parents are besides themselves, right? To recognize that, hold on, maybe my child was a big tzaddik, or a big tzaddikus in their previous lifetime, they just had a little bit to fix. They came to this world for a very short period of time. There's actually a very famous mice with the Baal Shem Tov like that, where someone brought their child to the Baal Shem Tov. Right? And maybe that's all that needed to happen. So with the concept of Gilgal, you can offer a nechama, like we told the story yesterday from the Chavetz Chaim, offering words of nechama to that woman whose child was born without arms. So when a person, again, understands the concept of Gilgulim, we understand a lot of deeper things. Again, v'oz nisgal le'ein kol, ki advarm einem shutim klal v'klal. And it became very clear to this Rav from Italy that there are no such thing as simple matters in this world. But there are secrets that are tucked away within reality from earlier and previous generations. Okay? Yeah. Chala means illnesses. Chalaim kashim shonim. Difficult and unusual illnesses. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then also the last word, tumunim.
Like hidden, concealed. Okay, so an unbelievable maisa. Okay, so again, all this tells us that you don't know the first thing about someone else's situation. A person's born with all sorts of emotional handicaps, mental handicaps, physical handicaps, nisyonos, different types of yetzer tov, yetzer hara, easy to grab on to learn Gemara, difficult, as he's going to explain in the next paragraph, to learn Gemara. You have no idea. Maybe this person's really good at learning because it's something that happened in a previous lifetime. And even forget the Gilgal aspect. Again, this is all just to really remind us we don't know anything. But on a more pashut level, every person in this room was born to a different family, in a different place, in different circumstances. Okay, some of us went to the same schools growing up, right? But no one has the same story. Everyone has a different experience. And again, as that unfolds, God forbid to judge someone else, God forbid to be jealous of someone else. We're going to talk, we're speaking more about the jealousy aspect. We're going to talk about not judging someone else. Don't judge a person until you reach his place, it says in Pirkei Avos. And you'll never reach his place. You don't understand where he's coming from. You don't understand the context of his life. Okay, let's go on to the bottom paragraph on page Nun Tes. Zikaron Megilgulim Kodmim. People who remember things from previous lifetimes. Now, there were tzaddikim who had very clear statements about previous lifetimes. But sometimes one's actions, whether they realize it, you know, with clarity in their own mind, but sometimes the way that a person experiences something in this world, it's indicative of something that happened in a previous lifetime. So, for example, Ukamo kein roim lefam sha'adam ha'lo med safa zara o miktsoa misuyam. Sometimes you see a person. They're learning a foreign language, or they're learning a particular profession or trade. V'yeshlo bo hatzlacha rabba v'tfisa mihira. And you're cracking your head to try to just get down the basics of this language, and your friend is already fluent in like a couple of days. How's that possible? He has unbelievable hatzlacha, tfisa, he grabs onto it, he grasps it, mihira, very quickly. How does that happen? Sometimes, all of a sudden, you start to teach him, and he knows more than his rabbi. He knows more than the teacher. How does a person, and other people, they can't figure it out for the life of them. How does a person grasp it so quickly? So you could say, oh, they're just smarter, they're just more intelligent. And another person is so bad at that, but is so good at something else. So what's the pshat? The answer is, aleinu ledas, sha'af zeh kashri legilgulim kodbim. We have to realize that this may also be connected to previous lifetimes. Ki yitachin shekvar diber besafazu, maybe in a previous lifetime, right? Why is it so easy for you to learn French? Because maybe in a previous lifetime you lived in France. You were a Jew in the 1300s, you lived in France. I don't know. Who knows? So all of a sudden, you have this great ease at reacquiring that information. Again, this is part of the story in the Gemara in Nida, when it says in Daf Lamed that a child learns everything in its mother's womb. It learns Kol HaTorah Kula, which the Vilna Gaon's brother explained, Rav Avram, the brother of the Gra, explained, that means you learn all of your Chelek in Torah. Everyone has a different Chelek in Torah. I guess everyone in this room was born to have a Chelek in Sefer Lakhet Amar. Right? Those who joined this year's second semester only had the Chelek, at least for now, from, Daf Mem Chasanan. Yeah, so different people have a different chelek, and you're trying to get back to that. Why do I learn it in the womb to then forget everything? I learn whatever I'm going to know, and then the malach smacks me in the face and I forget everything. What's the pshat? So the tzaddikim explain, because once you've experienced it once, hopefully then you can get back to it. So if in your mother's womb you learned Bava Kama, so hopefully you'll be able to get back to that in this world. With the proper effort, you'll be able to reacquire it. So says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, the same thing is true with Gilgulim. In a previous lifetime, you spoke a particular language, or you had a particular profession, you had already mastered a certain skill. So now, this time around again, it's easy for you to get back to it. And he says, all the more so, if we're talking about languages and professions, all the more so, he says, five lines from the bottom, Ulahav dilgam bechachmas haTorah kadosha hukach. The same thing is true in Torah. You're jealous that your friend is able to understand the sugya more quickly. I don't know, maybe this is only your second time in this earth. Maybe it's his fifth time, so he's a little more advanced. Maybe it's not such a milah that he knows it so well because he keeps coming back to this world because he hasn't finished his mission. You have no idea. None of us know the score. Like we learned yesterday, everything is with a cheshbon, but we don't know the score. We don't know the cheshbon. We don't know the calculation. You meet a person who says, I'm committing myself to learning all 2,711 pages of Gemara. It's a big task. And holy chlo benokel, and it goes easy for him. He has no trouble with it. V'divrei Torah misukim b'piv. And you see he's excited about Torah. The same Gemara that you look at and you say, this is so technical and boring. He says, this is so geshmak. He says, wow, what a great sugya. And you're saying, what's great about this? It's not relevant to my life. It's hard to understand. The language is difficult. The concepts, the abstract concepts are difficult. I don't understand what's going on here. The second person, it's a struggle for him. For one person, he's flying through Shas. The other person is cracking his head on one daf of Gemara. Va'av zem yisod gilgalho. And this might also be part of the secret of reincarnation. Shechaveiro kvar amal v'yisyageya begilgal kodem al. I'll turn the page. Kach. That your friend in his previous lifetime had already worked on this. Achekvar shavar es aklipa. He's already broken through those walls, those barriers that are difficult, to the point that he's able to learn with great ease. V'hu tafkido ata. And now, his tafkid is, la'amol al-kol dvar Torah pi'aser. In the last lifetime, he cracked the code of Gemara. Now it's his job to chazer it over 10 times. So he learns Shas 10 times in his lifetime. You're only struggling to get through one mesechta. Maybe you know, his neshama's gone through this a few times, and yours hasn't. Va'ashrei misha amlo b'Torah, kim lo achshav emesai. And therefore, each person should be amel in his own way, and make the most of his situation. Again, it's so important for us to just be focused. Not in a chas v'shalom a bad ben adam l'chaver way, but in terms of looking at our avoda, to just be focused on our avoda, not to be overwhelmed by the fact that there's someone in the world named Rav Schechter. Okay, I may never know as much Torah as Rav Schechter. That's okay. I don't feel bad about that. I have to just do the best that I can, and I have to be honest with myself. I can't make excuses for myself, but if I'm really trying my best, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no tainas on us. And again, you don't have to feel bad or overwhelmed by someone else's lot in this world. Yeah. Right, so we mentioned yesterday, it's not that you're exactly the same neshama. The Chida writes in one of his svarim that it means you come from a collective neshama. Right? So that means, again, the neshama, needless to say, is not a simple being. Right? Neshama is multifaceted. So there's some neshama, right? There's some neshama, and this neshama is broken into lots of little pieces. There's a common denominator between these neshamos. Right? So in other words, the Chida says, if you, Rami, were once upon a time a Spanish Jew in the 1800s, yeah? Probably, okay. So if you were a Spanish Jew in the 1800s, yeah? and your good friend Chaim was sitting next to you was a student of the Rambam in his previous lifetime, right? So that doesn't mean he's exactly the same now. It means that there's some, again, sliver of that common neshama that's being worked on right now. So there is something unique about each neshama. I was very excited when I saw this chida, because sometimes you think, like, so how's that going to work? If I'm exactly, you know, if there's me, the 2018 version of me, and there was the 1500s version of me, right? So at the end of my lifetime, when Tchiyas HaMeitzim takes place, so who's coming back? The 1500s version of me or the, you know, 21st century version of me? And the answer is they're both coming back. Because as much as there's a common bond between them, right? But they each, there's a connection between them. But they each have something that's unique to that individual.
They go back into like the womb before they learn Torah again.
Maybe. These are deep things. I have a shir on Yud Torah if anyone wants to check it out on Gilgulim, which gives you kind of from beginning to end some of the Yesodos.
What's it called?
It's called What's the Deal with Gilgulim? Seriously. When we were in Camp Morasha a bunch of summers ago, I was giving a once a week series on called What's the Deal With? So I went on What's the Deal with Gematria? What's the Deal with Gilgulim? What's the Deal with the Mon? For Inyana Dioma, last week's Parsha, the Mon. What's the Deal with the Mon? You know, things that like we kind of heard of, but we don't have any clue how it actually works. So yeah, so that's from that series. What's the Deal with Gilgulim? Yeah, Rabbi David.
Do non-Jews also come back as a Gilgul?
I don't remember the answer to that question. I feel like I've seen it discussed. Anyone know? Do non-Jews also have Gilgulim? I've been a little bit misleading you because I keep saying, you know, this one's on his third try, this one's on his 10th try. The Sfarim assume that a person has up to 3 Gilgulim. The Rizal also says that women don't have Gilgulim. So again, I don't know how that works, but women are, right? I mean, it's a nice thing to say when you get married, you say to your wife, you're perfect. How do I know? Because I might have to cut, this might be my, you know, third time around, and a woman is only created once. But then the Sfarim say that a woman, for those who can handle such a statement, that a woman might be reincarnated to help her husband complete his mission. But a woman be'etzem doesn't experience Gilgul. Again, I don't know. I could chazer that shir. I should probably chazer myself. I don't remember. But yeah, I don't know. Do non-Jews have Gilgulim? Not sure. Yes, Ripstat.
Very thrown off.
Okay.
This applies to all Mahabhav. Do you believe in reincarnation as Jewish people?
Yes. We do.
I know that's what this year is about, but like,
we do. Yes, we do. We do. There are select individuals who lived 700, 800, 900 years ago, great Jewish leaders who didn't believe in Gilgulim. As the story we just learned, Yehuda Arya Mimodina, in the late 1500s, early 1600s, didn't believe in Gilgulim until he saw with his own eyes something that he thought proved Gilgulim. But yes, it's accepted. It is an accepted Jewish tradition that we believe in Gilgulim. Okay? It's very important to realize that. Just because there's a Rishon who didn't believe in something doesn't automatically, you know, upend the concept that's well accepted.
Do you know you're a Gilgul?
Do I know?
No, I'm saying, does the person himself know when he's reincarnated that he's
the assumption of the tzaddikim is that we're all Gilgulim right now. The chance of anyone in this room being a new neshama that's never come to this world before, again, there's only 600,000 neshamos, which again, a neshama is made up of a lot of pieces, but there's 600,000 original neshamos. The chance that, again, and over the course of history, there's been millions and millions of Jews. So the chance that any one of us is mamish, a new neshama, that's here for the first time, is extremely unlikely, according to the tzaddikim. We shouldn't be offended by that. You know, the tzaddikim said the Baal HaTanya was a new neshama. Okay. So if anyone here turns out like the Baal HaTanya, we'll say that about you also.
Jamie.
Jamie, we're rooting for you. Okay, yeah, but this is an accepted Jewish concept. Yes?
Rabbi, did you just say that according to
right.
So that means that eventually
right. Mathematically, it doesn't seem to work out. Good. I have that question as well. And again, these are things that we don't really understand. So, you know, again, the neshama could be broken up into so many little pieces based on the chidai. It's not. It could be that your particular neshama, again, three tries to figure it out. But what exactly that means, I'm not sure. Yes, Isaac, and then Austin.
When I heard this, but don't people say that like the Maharal of God was a Gilgul, but like in the shul?
No, it's a golem. The name of the golem. The Maharal's golem?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Maharal's golem. I have a shiur, actually, one of the shiurim. What's the deal with the golems? I think. Yeah, is it on there? I think so. Can you check that out? I don't remember. I think
isn't it in, like, the top floor?
Yeah. No, yeah, one of them for sure is on golems. Yeah, what's the story with the golem? So the Maharal, the truth of the matter is the Maharal never made a golem. That was a myth that was created by a storyteller, I think, in, like, the early... I don't know, 1900s or late 1800s. It's prior to that, there's no source that the Maharal ever had a golem. So the Maharal, the Pasha says the Maharal did not create a golem. Yeah, but golems and Gilguls are a little different. Okay? Austin, you want to say something?
Yeah. Can people be reincarnated into non-human?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah,
100% that a person can come back as non-human. The Chafetz Chaim talks about it in his Svarim in terms of like a more, you know, regular source, but for sure, the deeper Svarim talk about, the terrible punishment of coming back as something, a person, for example, who's does certain Averos will come back as a dog or a bird or a tree or a rock. It's a very scary thought.
Terrifying.
Okay, there's a bird. So next time you see, like, you know, a cat walking around the old city, yeah, give him Shalom Aleichem. Right.
No,
I don't know, say like a pasuk. There's wacky stories about tzaddikim saying, yeah, thanks to cats, and then they're like, you know, they're dropping dead in the old city.
It's Rabina
stories. It's Rabina story, yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
but there's other, you know, there's a lot of interesting stories. Okay, Kev, we gotta go on, but yeah, Velvel, and that's, then we're going on.
Can I say a quick story?
Sure.
When I was in Yeshiva, there was this cat outside of Yeshiva following us, and everywhere we went, like,
oh, you told me this once.
Went to the base manager, followed us everywhere, and one day we decided to, like, go to the cat, and we said, we forgive you. The next day, we never saw it.
Okay. Sipurim Isis from Revelva. The cat. I wonder what the cat did to wrong you in a previous lifetime.
Alright,
so we forgive the cat.
What if the cat does, like, bestiality? That's weird. Like, I knew in the shaman.
That would be strange.
I
don't know.
Does Gilgulim only portray us like a spiritual neshama or physical physicality also?
Right, meaning do I look similar to the way that I looked in a previous lifetime?
Yeah.
I would assume not, again, based on the Achida, that there's something unique about, you know, Jordan as you exist now. So I would imagine that whatever makes your neshama slightly unique, even though it's connected to a previous version of you, I would imagine that physically you also have a different look. And also that Gemara that says that no two people look alike. So I would assume that, you know, that it's different, but it could be it's similar. I don't know. Okay? So let's go on. So when you see someone else who's very successful in their learning, and you feel like, where did I go wrong? Right? Why is he so good at learning and I'm struggling? You have no idea, again, what he experienced in a previous lifetime. Another interesting comment from the Shema Gedolim. Second paragraph on page Samach. B'Shema Gedolim Me'achida Erech Yud. Under the entry for, again, it's arranged alphabetically. list of rabbis' names. Under the entry for Rav Yosef Cairo. Who's Rav Yosef Cairo? The author of the Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef. We learned the Beis Yosef yesterday in Hilchos Tefillin. Kosov Merav Chaim Vital. Sha Beis Yosef Hayu Mishoresh of Yehuda Bar Eloi. That the Beis Yosef in the 1500s was from the Shoresh of the Neshama of who? Of Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi. Of the great Tana Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi. Vehu Bichnaf Adam Harishon Hasmolis. And this is from the left side of Adam HaRishon, and we'll talk more about what that means. V'hu mibechinas Atzilus. And it comes from the world of the four Olamos, the world of Atzilus. Okay? I don't know what any of that means. However, it's very interesting to say that the Beis Yosef is from Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi. Why is that interesting? Look what he writes. V'ri'isiel zed davar na. I saw a very interesting explanation of this, perhaps from the Chida himself. Shemikev and Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi ha'yirosh ha'medabrim b'chol makom. The Gemara says Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi would always be the Rosh HaMadabrim, the first one to speak on all matters of public policy. So whenever you need to know what to do, who speaks first? Rav Yosef Cairo. Where do you look? You want to learn the halacha? You start looking in the writings of Rav Yosef Cairo. Reishis l'chol davar, hu ma'ayin b'lashon ha'machaber maran beit Yosef. The first thing you do is you look at what Rav Yosef Cairo has to say. And then afterwards, you look in the other poskim. Rak acher kach, ma'ayin b'shar poskim. So Rav Yosef Cairo, just like his predecessor, sort of, that earlier neshama that he had a connection to, just like Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi was always the first to speak, Rav Yosef Cairo was always the first to weigh in on the issue. V'yesh harbe dugmos ma'alifos benosei nifla zeh, sheyecholim litztaber l'chidei sefer shalom. He says that there's many wondrous things like this. You can write a whole sefer on this topic. About who comes from who and the connections between them. Where does Rabbi Akiva come from? Who's in the Shema does Rabbi Akiva share? Rabbi Akiva is connected to Yaakov Avinu. And that's why it sometimes says Avir Yaakov. Take the letters of Avir Yaakov, you move them around, it spells Rabbi Akiva. Avir Yaakov has the letters Rabbi Akiva. Yeah? Yeah. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is also connected to Rabbi Akiva, to Yaakov Avinu. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi has a lot of connections to Yaakov Avinu. That's why we call him Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Right? Hanasi, the tzaddikim explained, the Megala Muko says, Hanasi stands for Hu Nishmas
Yaakov Avinu.
Hu Nishmas Yaakov Avinu. Hanasi, am I missing anything? No. Hu Nisham or Nitzus Shel Yaakov Avinu. Yeah, Hanasi.
These connections are considered fact or like just good guesses?
Facts, I don't know. If Eliyahu Navi told it to you, would it be a fact?
Yes.
I'm saying if you were really convinced it was Eliyahu Navi and he told you what he saw on the other side. He brought it as a teaching from the Heavenly Academy. Okay. So the Arizal got it from Eliyahu Navi. Nesifta Derekiah. Yeah. Okay, we gotta go on. Let's go on a little bit. I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of what'd you say? Yeah, you can get a word. Where? Anything that's needed in matters of Jewish law. Okay? Ulefi kol ha'amor. What do we learn from all of this? This was very interesting. I see people are very excited about this topic, a lot of questions. And again, it's kedai to look into it more. But you know what the point of all this was? However, we're not learning about Gugulim because this is a shir in Kabbalah. This is a shir in Chasidus and practical living. And therefore, we learn from all of this that ein shum makom lekina. There's no room to be jealous of someone else. You have no clue, bepnimius, what's going on with another person. If we would understand the secrets of reincarnation, lo haya makom klal v'chlal lekina. Vitzaris ayin me'echad lechaveru. There simply would be no room to be jealous of someone else or to see them with a stingy eye. Ki im kol echad na'aseh inyan acher, because every person was created for a different purpose. V'shtal shulis acheres. And again, a different, he was sent to this world for a different mission. Lagamri, harachoka, karachok, mizrach, imarv. Just like the distance from east to west, so too is the distance of you from your friend. Okay? So be focused on your own mission. Another example. He quotes a line from one of the stories of Rabbi Nachman in the Sipurei Maisios. Das is Yanim's Maisa, und das is mein Maisa. This is the other person's Maisa, This is the other person's action, and this is my action. What's the story? He says in the bottom paragraph on page Samach, Uvezeh yiduyak leshono hazav. Now you'll understand the precise, the beautiful, precise words, the golden words of Rabbi Nachman in the Sipurei Maisios, in the story of the Chacham and the Tam. In the story of the Chacham, the wise man, and the Tam, and the simpleton. Kishesholu asatam, when the Tam was asked in the story. Anyone know the story? It's an interesting story. Madua matzliach marviach hasheni yosem imenu betfiras haminalayim. Why is the other one more successful than you in stitching shoes? Who's the Tam in the story? The Tam is the tzaddik. Right? The Tam is not a fool. The Tam is the tzaddik. The true tzaddik. So the tzaddik was asked, why is the other person, again in the story, why is he more successful in stitching up shoes than you? Heisha b'zeh lashon. So the Tam says, you know why I'm not so good at it? Because das is yanim's maisa, and das is mine maisa. This is his maisa, and this is my maisa. What does the word maisa mean? You could say it's his action, but how else do we use the word maasa? Sipurei Maisios is the name of Rabbi Nachman's volume, right? A maisa means a story. Right, I'll tell you a good maisa. It means a story. So what Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter says, why did Rabbi Nachman use the word maisa here? This is his story, this is my story. What does that mean? Shemuvano ma li velo. What the Tam is saying, what do you even ask? What's that question? That question doesn't even make sense. Why is he better at this than you are? That's a ridiculous question. Zos hi pulaso, v'zos hi pulasi. That's his action, that's my action. We do things differently. Ve'in b'inenu klum. Aval l'chore yesh l'dayik madua nakad b'lashon maisa. Why did Rabbi Nachman use the word maisa? Again, these are sipurei maisio, stories. Elakan marumas omek kavanas inyan zeh. Because the depth of what Rabbi Nachman is saying here. Shatam, the simpleton in the story. Hamiram is al tzadik hador, which alludes to the leader of the generation. Ramos b'zeh she'ein shum makum mikinas adam avayeyu. You know why it's ridiculous to be jealous of someone else? Basherim kol echad nasa sipur maisa achir legamri. Because your friend's story is not your story. The story of his life is totally different than yours. To such a degree that it almost makes sense for a person, again, in a proper way, to walk around saying, like Rabbi Penner was alluding to yesterday. Was that yesterday? Penner spoke yesterday? Yeah. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. That everyone else is just, again, like he said, the Truman Show in the background to my story. This is my maisa and that's your maisa. Not that this is just my action, your action. Right? If you say it like that, it sounds like, well, you know, I'm just better at it. Right? I do it better than you. No, but if you see, this is part, to ask such a question, why is he better at this than you? That's completely out of context. It's out of the context of a person's life, outside the context of the sipur maisa of the person. And that's what Rabbi Nachman really meant. It says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter with the precise language, just as Yenim's maisa. This is part of his story. This is part of my story. He'll be the best he can be by making the best shoes, and I'll be the best I can be by making shoes that are not so good. That's how we each achieve our tafkin in this world. Okay, let's do one more page, one more paragraph. Okay, one more section. Top of page Samachav. Okay, we'll do this last section. We'll conclude at the top of page Samach, please. V'inei HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'yishivo al ta'anosav v'talunosav shel Iyov Amma. When Hashem responds to Iyov. Iyov is such a sad book that we can read it even on Tisha B'Av. Yeah? Today I should say Tisha. Last night I kept saying Tisha B'Av and I meant to say Tu B'Shvat. Okay, but now I meant to say Tisha B'Av. Iyov is a very sad book. Iyov is a famous work of Tanakh, of Jewish philosophy, that describes the suffering of the righteous. Seemingly the righteous suffer sometimes. So when Iyov is making tainas against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, complaining to God, what does Hashem say to him? Eifo hayisa biyosdi aretz. Where were you when I established the world? As if to say, Pashut Pshat, do you have the whole story? Do you see the whole picture? The Chavetz Chaim, I think it's in Parshas Kisisa. In the Chavetz Chaim al Torah, the Chavetz Chaim gives a mashal of a person who walks into shul on a particular Shabbos and sees how the Gabbai is giving out aliyos, and this person is very upset. You gave Yankel and Beryl and Shmerel aliyos. Didn't you see that, you know, Reb David was standing on the side? He's a chashuv person. How do you not give an aliyos to Reb David? So the Gabbai says to this fellow, hi, welcome to the community. This is your first time in shul. Almost every week, Reb David gets an aliyah because he's such a chashuv guy. It happens to be that Yankel and Beryl and Shmerel all have yartzeit this week. You don't know the big picture. You're looking at one little slice. You're looking at one Shabbos. You don't see the whole story. So the Chavetz Chaim says we make that mistake also. We have tainas on Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't see anything. Yeah, the little bit that Moshe Rabbeinu even caught a glimpse, whatever that means. He saw a glimpse of Hashem. But Kadosh Baruch Hu said, it's a tiny little sliver. You only know your life. We have no sense of what it was like to be a Jew, yeah, in the times of Rashi. No sense of it. We don't know how that affects what's happening in our lives today, through Gilgulim, through endless amounts of possibilities and circumstances. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Eov, Eifo ha'yisa b'yasti arts. Where were you when I created the world? Have you seen the whole story? The Medrash says, Hacha Adam Arishon Mutal Golam, as Adam Arishon was still lying as a non-living figure, right? He was formed from the earth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the shape of Adam Arishon before HaKadosh Baruch Hu even blew life into him. Hera lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol tzadik v'tzadik she'asad lamun mimenu. Hashem indicated to Adam Arishon, Adam being the all-encompassing man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Arishon all of the tzadikim who were eventually going to come from him. Yeshu toli barosho, there are tzaddikim that come from the head of Adam Rishon. Yeshu tali b'saro, there are tzaddikim who come from the hair of Adam Rishon. Yeshu tali b'mitzcha, some people come from the forehead of Adam Rishon. Yesh be'enav, his eyes. Chotmo, piv, ozno. Every person comes from a different chelek of Adam Rishon. So when we said before that Rav Yosef Cairo, right, came from the knaf Adam Rishon hasmolis, go figure out what that means. I think in the writings of the Arizal, it talks about the right payas and the left payas being the Rambam and the Ramban. Right? Who knows? I don't know anything. V'teidu l'cha b'shoshai Iyob mevakesh l'zvakeach im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Medrash, when Iyob was complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meishivo, eifo ha'yisa b'yasti aretz. You know what Hashem said to Iyob? It's a Gevaldik Medrash. Hashem said, show me, where are you in Adam Rishon? Like, do you even understand the context from where you come? Do you have any sense of how this works? Amr lo, right? He said to him, ha'efa shalcha. Efa means that efa is a measure. Right? Asiris ha'efa. The man was an asiris ha'efa. Yeah? And efa is a measure. So Hashem said to him, where is your midah? Ha'midah shalcha, in parentheses. Ha'ikr v'ha'shorish shalcha. Do you have any idea where you come from? Maybe you come from Adam's, you know, left smallest toe. Do you understand how that's supposed to play itself out? So you're comparing yourself to other people. You have no sense of how this works. Do you have any idea where you're dependent upon, where you come from? From where you were extracted? So the Arizal explained the secret of this pasuk. That Adam Rishon was made up of all the souls that will eventually be born. When Adam sinned with Eitz Hadas Tovara, Irev Tovara, there was a mixing of Tovara, and everything got mixed together. Hazachar Samach Mem Aleph and Lamed, which is the name of the Yetzirah, Adam Blial, a sinful person, got mixed in. V'chein Hatov Shal Chava, and the good of Chava got mixed in with the female name of the Yetzirah, Lamed Yud Tav. Zuamas HaNachash, the filth of the Nachash. It was a big mix. Right? Everything got really messed up. And this is the idea of the Yetzirah. From the time Adam ate the Yetzirah, we all have a Yetzirah inside of ourselves. But different parts of the body were affected more by the Nachash. Some parts got dirtier, spiritually dirtier. That's why some people have stronger Yetziraras and some people have less strong Yetziraras. And what's happening to you today is a reflection of what happened to you at that moment of Adam Rishon sin. Famous ma'isa between the Rebbe Reb Zusha and the Rebbe Reb Melech. They were brothers. Noam Elimelech and the Rebbe Reb Zusha. Reb Elimelech of Lezhensk and Reb Zusha of Anapoli. They were brothers. So there's a famous story that I think Reb Zusha once asked Reb Melech, you know, where were we by the sin of Adam Rishon? And if we were there, why didn't we stop him? Right? We were big at tzaddikim. We knew better. We could have stopped Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon's all-encompassing. That means our neshamas were there. Why didn't we stop Adam Rishon? I think Rav Zusha asked Rav Melech that question. So if I remember correctly, the Rebbe Rav Melech said back to him, he said, we let Adam sin. It's such a gavaldic line. We let Adam sin, even though we knew it was wrong, we let Adam sin to be able to prove to Adam, and by extension all of us, that what? That the tithe is not worth it. That it looks so good, it looks so tempting, right? The lashon of the pasuk. Chava looks at the fruit, it's a taiva to her eyes. But that's all it is, it's to the eyes. It looks so appealing. Adam Rishon needed to learn the truth. that when you listen to the Yetzer Hara, you feel stupid afterwards. Right? So we let him sin so we can learn that truth. Okay, we're still grappling with that truth. Right? But Adam had to learn the hard way. And we have to learn the hard way as well. So again, all of us, wherever we were at that time, that's where we are today. Okay? That's what's happening in our lives today. He says, Va'ayin b'lekutei Torah me'arizal on Eov. She'iov ha'egilgol shel Terach. You know who Eov is in a previous lifetime? Terach. Who's Terach? Abram's father. Interesting. Va'ayin shom ma'she'hevi be'eza zu'ama metunefes ha'yashoroyaz. So Terach, the great idol worshipper. You can imagine Eov's going to have some struggles to work out in his next lifetime. Yeah? And this explains, he says, Hatam Amasha Shenilka Bishchin. This is why Eov was afflicted with boils. Look at the Arizal. He explains everything that happened in Eov's life, based on what happened in previous lifetimes. V'zeh she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'Eov in the bottom paragraph. And this is what Hashem said to Eov. Eifo hayisa biyasti aretz. Where were you in Adam Rishon? Do you even know where you come from, Eov? You have tainas against how I run the whole world? Hashem says to Eov, can you even explain your own life? You can't. None of us even understand ourselves enough. So we're busy working on someone else's life, focused on what other people are up to. Where were you? Bizman she'ein lecha shum musag v'havana b'sod b'riyas ha'olam. You have no understanding whatsoever of the nature of creation, the secrets of creation. V'yesodo v'seder halichos sovish al shalusov hashonos. Everything that's happened in history, you can't explain it. V'shuv ein lecha shum makum l'tviya al sidrei olam. Misuyamim hanirim be'inecha k'mishunim. And therefore, when you see strange things happening in your life, you can't complain about it. You have no sense of context. You don't even understand your own life, the big picture of your own life. Oh, tainos v'tfios al nashim shonim. You have complaints against other people. Again, you don't know how they fit into your story. You don't know how you fit into their story. Heyos she'ein chayodeh klal v'klal sharsham v'yisavusam. Top of the next page. V'chol zeh usod habior hamuva amasha kasa ba'avos. And all of this is hinted in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which we'll talk more about next week. Al tadines chavercha. Don't judge a person until you reach his place. I always think when I read this Mishnah that Makom we know is what? Is a name for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't judge your friend because you have no understanding of his Makom, his relationship with God. You have no understanding of what he's been through and how he interacts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with him. You have no sense. You don't know what where he's holding spiritually. You don't know his relationship with Makomo Shel Olam, with God. Hainu Kishitasing Makomo V'Sharsho. You want to judge someone else, you need to understand the essence of who they are, which Mistama, most of us don't know how to do. And that's why the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, there's only one who can judge alone, and that's Hashem. Because he's the only one who has the whole context. And certain tzaddikim, who again are able to have a deeper understanding of things, to be able to look at you and to help you to define your essence. The Navi, what was the Navi called? In the Navi, it says, the Navi used to be called. What was he used to be called? Anyone remember? In Sefer Shmuel, it says, the Roeh, exactly, excellent. Shkaich Remex. The Navi was called the Roeh, the seer. You know why the Navi is called a seer? The Vilna Gaon explains that the Navi is called the seer because in the olden days, you know what you do? You go to the Navi, and you say, Navi, I need you to see. What does the Navi see for you? The big picture. The Navi zooms out into the Olamos. The Navi is able to see the essence of your neshama. And when you say to the Navi, Navi, should I be a doctor? Should I go into chinuch? Right? Should I be a musician? Yeah. Should I try to be the first from NBA player? Yeah. What's my tachlis? What's my tafkid? So the Navi says, I can see that you're supposed to be this. So the Aretz Tzaddikim were able to see the big picture. But most of us, and Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter speaking to most of us, we're living in, again, our little slice of life. And therefore, al tadinas chavercha, don't judge someone else. Don't be jealous of someone else. Halavai, you should be able to understand where you fit into the big picture of Adam Rishon. Eifo hayisa biyasei aretz. Where were you when Adam was created? And halavai, if we take these things to heart, then we'll be able to look deep inside of ourselves. We'll work hard on getting to know ourselves. And we'll never, God forbid, be nechshol in being jealous or judgmental of anyone else. Shkoyach. Okay.